The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Was it the worst draw of all time? Was there any logic to celebrating 20 years of Jeff Hardy or adding Asuka to the TLC main event? Never mind. Let's just talk more about All Elite because we're going to do it on the show today. Hello and welcome to Sunday night's main event, Canada's premier wrestling radio show. I'm your host, Jason Agnew, joined tonight on a non-pay-per-view evening by my longtime radio tag team partner, Dan the Mouth of Ransky. And Mouth, are you ready to roar about a very subpar week in WWE?
Jay, am I allowed to say that I am pissed about what I saw on WWE Raw this week?
Well, you just did.
I'm telling you, we got a lot to talk about, as always, but it's not going to be all negative. We're not going to all just rant and rave. We have lots of other cool stuff to talk about, including a very cool special guest.
Yeah, you got it. Along with all of that, we've got MLW making a big announcement this week, a live TV special. So we'll have MLW President Court Bauer on the show tonight to give us all the details on the special and how he's going to have to book around the absence of two very prominent MLW stars. Dave Meltzer is going to be along for the Wrestling Observer Insider Plus, Turnbuckle Trivia, and lots of your feedback tonight. But first things first, it was a busy week of news, so let's get you all caught up.
And now, your Wrestling Roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, with the big story on the show last week being the trademarks filed for All Elite Wrestling and the fact that I had a chat with Dave Meltzer about a potential difference maker joining the company, one of the names we came up with was CM Punk. Well, thanks to an interview with MMA Fighting, we have some fresh comments from Punk. Punk said that the Bucks and Cody have to do what's best for their family and also mentioned that WWE is no longer the be-all and end-all for all of those in the industry. But most importantly, when asked about the potential of him getting involved with the rumored new organization, Punk said that pro wrestling is not on his radar. However, he'd be willing to listen if they made an offer. So the doors open a crack, Mouth. Let those rumors begin.
Yeah, or you know everybody's going to be titillating over that one for the next little while. And as we all know, Jay, you can never say never in professional wrestling.
Very true. That's a slogan.
Yes. The week started off with big overseas news for the WWE with the signing of European independent wrestling star Walter. PW Insider first reported the news, and Dave Meltzer quickly confirmed that Walter is on board for a WWE NXT United Kingdom deal, and he'll be part of WWE's European expansion plans, including the next, including the NXT UK brand. Walter is from Austria and is a star for WXW, the current world champion in Progress Wrestling and OTT Wrestling, and he also dropped the PWG World title to Jeff Cobb just last month. Now, we'll chat more about this in our second hour with David Meltzer and also get into the new restrictions that WWE has put on their European talent in regards to where they can appear and work matches.
Everybody seems to be clamping down just as of the past couple weeks. Amazing how that coincidence has gone about. Now, for those of you attending WrestleMania weekend, your travel plans may have just changed. WWE issued a statement yesterday confirming that NXT TakeOver New York will now be held on Friday, April 5th. And the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony is going to take place on Saturday, April 6th. The change means that the Hall of Fame ceremony, instead of TakeOver, will be going head-to-head with the Ring of Honor and New Japan G1 Supercard at Madison Square Garden on Saturday night. Interesting how that swap has taken place.
Yeah, and interesting how it will affect the Hall of Fame attendance, because I would think a lot of the hardcores would probably be going to MSG instead.
Well, it depends who's being inducted.
That's true, too.
Shall we say that?
That's true. If you get the right hooks, that's true. On Wednesday, WWE.com announced that Braun Strowman underwent successful surgery in Birmingham, Alabama. Further details, including a timetable for Strowman's return to the ring, weren't provided. Despite what was said on Raw, the surgery was quite minor and was simply the removal of some bone spurs in his elbow.
Last week, I went into detail about being surprised that the Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions, LAX, were allowed to participate in the match versus the Street Profits on an Evolve card. Well, this week, that's not the case, as Impact has pulled LAX from the card. Now, Evolve then released a statement saying that new matches were made to avoid any political issues, with LAX unable to lose to the Street Profits. Evolve also stated that they won't consider booking any wrestlers contracted to Impact Wrestling moving forward.
Former NXT Women's Champion Kairi Sane announced that she has contracted hand, foot, and mouth disease. The illness, which tends to affect children but can spread to adults, begins with a fever before causing a rash similar to eczema to spread to the hands, feet, and tongue. Yeah, it is unpleasant, Jay, but the condition tends to clear up after a week. And for those of you that are wondering, it is not related to the foot and mouth disease, also known as hoof and mouth disease, which affects farmyard animals. I'm glad we clarified that.
Yeah, she'd have a whole new gimmick if she got that one.
That's true.
I had the best jokes, though, people posting about this, going, shouldn't it be scurvy?
Yes,
considering
exactly,
her gimmick,
the
right?
Sailor gimmick,
yeah. Pirate princess
yes,
there.
Yes.
Listen, in what had to be the best wrestling tweet of the week, I love this one. Kevin Owens challenged Elton John to a match at WrestleMania after his concert in Orlando was canceled while Owens and his wife were in the arena waiting for it to start. Now, he tweeted, "Hey, at Elton John official, nobody ruins my wife's and I date except for me. You, me, WrestleMania. But this is my favorite. I fought men in their 70s before. I can do it again." And then a bunch of hashtags. Kevin Owens, just funny with whatever he
yeah,
does.
Yeah, he's someone that I really miss.
Yeah.
Not seeing on the TV every week at the moment. I haven't heard this name for a while, but the conspiracy crazy Jesse Ventura told TMZ that the Green Party has shown interest in him running for president.
Oh,
good Lord. Ventura said that if he runs, Donald Trump wouldn't stand a chance, and Trump knows that he can't out-talk a wrestler. Oh, my goodness. That's just crazy.
That's just what politics needs.
Yeah, really. Like, we need someone even crazier than Trump in there.
Sports Illustrated has announced that John Cena will receive the Muhammad Ali Legacy Award as the Sports Person of the Year ceremony in Los Angeles, California on December the 11th. Past honorees include Colin Kaepernick, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jack Nicklaus, and Magic Johnson. Now, the award honors a sports figure who embodies the ideals of sportsmanship, leadership, and philanthropy, and has used sports as a platform to make the world a better place. I guess it goes sports or sports entertainment, shall we say.
Yes.
To make
yes.
the world a better place.
Oh,
now,
and John Cena has done that.
Making the world a better place. Yep.
All right. More of the card for Final Battle 2018 was put in place this week on Ring of Honor TV. Top matches are going to be Ring of Honor World Champion Jay Lethal defending against Cody Rhodes, the ROH Tag Team Champion SoCal Uncensored defending against the Young Bucks and the Briscoes in a triple threat ladder war match, and the ROH Television Champion Jeff Cobb defending against Hangman Page. A final battle will be held at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City on Friday, December the 14th.
This is being seen as the final appearance for the Bucks and Cody in Ring of Honor, which was all but confirmed this week in a statement from ROH's Jeff Koff. Koff told Wrestling Inc. that he doesn't expect the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, and Hangman Page to be with ROH in 2019, but is thankful for what they've done in the organization, and he looks forward to what their next chapter is.
Yes, as do all of us. The company also announced that they have signed Brody King and 50-year-old PCO. That's Pierre-Carl Ouellette for you older fans there. They've signed them both to contracts. That means the two will not be able to fulfill their remaining indie dates, which will surely cause havoc for MLW. Yeah, for what you say, well,
there was a big announcement this week from MLW as the company will be presenting its first ever live television special, and it will actually go head-to-head versus Final Battle. MLW Fusion Live will take place on Friday, December the 14th, and be broadcast on the BeIN Sports Network at 8 p.m. Now, MLW is promoting a double main event of Rush versus Rich Swann and a five-way ladder match with the middleweight champion MJF defending against Andrew Everett, Desmond Xavier, Cota Brazil, and Jason Cade. Now, MJF is currently suffering from a broken elbow, so if he isn't cleared to compete, the title will be vacated, and it'll be a four-way match to decide the new champion. We're going to have more on this event when MLW founder and president Kurt Bauer joins us a little bit later in the show.
Well, that show could completely change by the time it takes place. Before we get to a couple of MMA notes, here's a football story. Sort of, yeah. I'm not convinced yet. The XFL was supposed to hold a press conference this week to announce the 8 cities that they were going to put teams in, but turns out we already know due to a mistake on the XFL website. Oh, things are off and running to a great start here. The cities are Dallas, Houston, LA, New York, New Jersey, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa Bay, and Washington, D.C.
From one circus to another, here's some MMA news. Dana White caused some waves in speaking to reporters after the final ever Ultimate Fighter finale. White revealed Conor McGregor could end up rematching with Dustin Poirier for his next UFC fight. White also mentioned that the Donald Cowboy Cerrone fight that has been touted all along was never in the works, and that a lightweight tournament between champion Khabib Nurmagomedov, Tony Ferguson, Conor McGregor, and Dustin Poirier was being planned. We'll talk to Meltzer a little bit about this later, because personally, Mouth, it's, to me, the be-all and end-all is GSP and Conor McGregor.
Yes.
There's millions and millions and millions of dollars on the line if that fight can happen.
Absolutely. No matter who Conor does fight, though, next, Jay, he will not be driving there because McGregor has been banned from driving for 6 months and has to pay a fine for speeding. It was back in October 2017 that McGregor was caught driving his Range Rover at 154 kilometers per hour in a 100 kilometer an hour zone. For you American listeners, that's going 96 miles an hour in a 60.
That's pretty bad.
Yes.
That's a stiff fine for that, though. A couple actual fight announcements from UFC this week. Harry Cejudo will defend the flyweight title against bantamweight TJ Dillashaw at the UFC 233 fight on January the 26th. And Paige VanZant versus Rachel Ostovich is on for the UFC's Fight Night show on January 19th. Yes, and of course, pretty boy Sage Northcutt, he's no longer with UFC. Instead, he signed with ONE Fighting Championships. And here's a blast from the past for you. One more, Mouth.
Oh, yeah. A final note here. Yeah, the California State Athletic Commission has given Chuck Liddell an indefinite medical suspension after his fight against Tito Ortiz. Now, if you saw the fight, you know that this suspension should have probably been given out before it ever happened. Amen. MMA Fighting filed the story and noted that Liddell will have to apply for the suspension to be lifted. Let's hope he thinks better of that and... He doesn't need to fight again.
No,
he shouldn't
be fighting.
He
should not fight again. All right, that wraps us up for this week and a very eventful week of news. When we come back, a not-so-eventful week on TV. But sometimes, you know, Mouth, when things are bad, that's good for us. We'll talk about Raw and SmackDown when we come back. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio.
I mean, I'll give it to Rhonda. She took a beating like a champion. You know, she should add that to her list of what it takes to be a true champion. Let me get into Rhonda mode.
A true champion stands at the top of the mountain, and she faces anybody who comes in pain while getting the crap beat out of her.
I don't think that one works, Rhonda, but this one's my favorite.
A true champion is the best on her worst day. Ah.
I don't think Rhonda has faced her worst day yet, but she will when she faces me at TLC.
Welcome back. It's Sunday night's main event. And listen, every week I come on here and you all know that when I play a clip of Nia Jax, all the time, all the time, it is me criticizing Nia Jax for the fact that I don't think this woman should ever have a microphone in her hand unless she's using it to hit someone with, because if she's talking into it, it's going to be an awful segment. But in a show that was highly criticized this week, the bar is set very low in Mouth. Ugh. I'm playing that in a positive manner, though. I actually thought...
Wow.
Exactly, right? Because Nia Jax came out there, and listen, it was scripted, it was cliche, but it was, to me, she was able to deliver this promo without stuttering, stammering.
Yeah.
And what I really found was that because this injury has happened to Becky Lynch, and don't get me wrong, I don't like that she's being rewarded for making a mistake, but at least they're taking advantage of it, and she's stepping up. Yeah. I feel as though this is she is stepping up to be able to embrace the hate and go with this. Mm-hmm. Now, did you feel this way as well, or did you just you don't want to hear Nia? Because I'm actually giving her credit for this one.
Well, I think I think because of the situation, like that you're saying, to me it is that idea that I think she really feels herself that she has to step up, because this week's Raw was really an example of how hurting they are when a few of the top guys get taken out with injuries, with no more Roman Reigns now, no Braun Strowman at the moment, no Ambrose really at the moment. And I think that it's good for performers like her to take that trying to leap and try to move forward. Now, I'm not exactly sure if it's going to work. I wasn't quite as captivated by it as you were, but I still think that the fact that she's stepping up and the fact that they're taking advantage of something that happened, those are always good things, I think, in my opinion. I think the more that you can mix in reality with what you're doing storyline-wise, it always helps things along. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but it was better than what she usually does.
Yeah, that's the praise that I'm giving. It better than usual for Nia Jax, and usual the bar is low.
Exactly.
And consider along with this, like, this was a terrible edition of
it
Raw.
It was.
You had a 3-hour show, and 1 hour of that show, if you timed it out, people have done this.
You're
was Baron Corbin. It was like 1 hour of this show featured Baron Corbin talking or being involved somehow, which is horrendous to think. And don't get me wrong, like, Baron Corbin is an okay speaker to me, but I don't think anyone should be on television involved in angles an hour.
Well, I said to you off air that I'm worried that things are going back into Attitude Era style with some of the stuff we saw on the show, and this is kind of another example of that, because that's what we had in the Attitude Era. We'd have McMahon out there, or one of them out there, and they'd be going on, and they'd be a big chunk of the show, and it just pulls everything down. And plus, I'm so tired of heel authority figures. And
now you got another one.
Exactly.
Alexa Bliss.
We have another one, right, with Alexa, and it's just like, I'm really tired of that, and it doesn't matter if the person's a 5-star promo. I'm just so sick and tired of that. So, to me, as soon as he comes out there and then monopolizes the show as much as he does, it's a negative for me.
Well, you do have Alexa Bliss. She's appointed to be in charge of the women's
division.
Which is
ridiculous, and she's in the division, and, it makes no sense at all.
Well, hold on. Baron Corbin is in the men's division, and he's in charge of the men's division as well.
Yeah, but we haven't really seen him.
He wrestles all the time. Don't get me wrong. He's wrestling. He is the new corporate Kane is what he is.
I guess so.
So there's no difference between Corbin and Alexa. Now, turns out Alexa has actually stepped back into the ring and she tweeted out her Instagram now that it's like day one of training has happened. So I guess she is on the process of recovery from a concussion. But her being appointed in charge of the women's division really makes no sense to me.
No.
I mean, they're just trying to keep her on TV.
Yes.
And on top of that, the segment... Wait, listen, I complimented Nia Jax, and let's offset that, with Alexa Bliss, Bayley, and Sasha. The go back to hell line from Bayley was absolutely horrendous. And the funny thing is, they made fun of the This Is Your Life thing in the vignette previous to this, and this segment in the ring with the three of them was absolutely horrendous and unnecessary, and just shows what filler this entire show seemed to be.
Yeah, that's the point right there, exactly, is that we had 3 hours. This is one of those times when the length of the show really, really bit them in the ass, and it's like, okay, look, a lot of our top guys are out. We really can't do a lot. We've got to fill this show, and that's exactly what it was, just trying to fill time, and it was a show, they were just coasting. It was a coasting show, and it was, as a result, it didn't really leave you anything to get excited about. Despite you even had a great match near the end of the show, but the fact that I've seen that match 500 times already took all the air out of it. I'm talking about Ziggler and Seth Rollins.
Well, there is definitely a problem with the repetitive nature of the product due to there being, too much of the product out there. And along with that, you mentioned the fact that I've been thinking about this for a while, since you do have Reigns go out and, Strowman is out for a little while. Is this not an ideal time to inject some new blood? And I think that, the Lars Sullivan vignettes are airing. I do think it's better for Lars to be on SmackDown because I don't think he should be on the same brand as Braun Strowman.
Right.
Because they're monster characters.
Same thing. They're really similar.
Whether he's heel or whether he's babyface, he should not be on the same brand. Down the line, that collision course should happen.
Sure.
But
sure,
not right away.
No, I agree.
He needs some seasoning.
That's right. You got to set him up and get him over in that, right?
But if that's the case, I don't understand why Aleister Black is still in NXT working yet another program with Gargano and Ciampa.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be in a they're going to do a three-way at the next show or something like that.
I haven't
read Gargano and Ciampa and him.
Yeah, I haven't read the tapings in detail.
Well, I looked at it, and that seems to be where they're going with the direction, right? So it is very bizarre. I don't know if they want to wait till a certain time to do it, but I agree with you. Your roster in just the last month or two has been severely hit, and it is the time to call in the extra troops and get some stuff on that programming that could get people interested again.
In particular, a baby face, because you have this wall of Corbin figures, that he's teamed up with here. So a baby face, Aleister Black coming in, who does operate as a baby face, a few shades of gray, but generally as a baby face in NXT. He's a dark kind of brooding character. He's got a fantastic entrance. And when you're debuting on the big show, adding to that entrance is an immediate babyface pop.
Yeah.
They could have very well done a push for, instead of doing this thing with Sullivan on both brands, why are you not maybe push Black on one brand and Sullivan on the other, and you can debut them exclusively on the two brands, then you get a big pop with him coming out, and instantly he can be set up with programs of all these heel guys you have on the show.
I don't know. The thing with Lars is that they want to really create the mystery. We don't know which show he's going to be on, type of thing. That's why they're running the vignettes on both shows.
Which is stupid.
No, but Jay, more likely is they haven't decided where they're going to put him yet, right?
You're right.
And they're like, you know what? We're going to cover our bases, and we're going to show this on both because we don't really know. But I agree with you. Don't put him on the same show with Braun Strowman. He should definitely be on SmackDown. SmackDown could use a good monster heel like that.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then on Raw, Aleister Black, I think, would be a great call-up. Just some fresh blood there, a fresh program, so we don't have to see, Rollins and Ziggler over and over. Just imagine if Rollins had done the open challenge and someone new had come out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Black, because I guess you don't want him to lose. Or maybe, Black could have come out for a huge pop, and then Ambrose runs in and interferes.
Right, exactly. So you don't get a clean finish anyways, right? And then you just spin him off into something. Yeah, I think exactly if it had been, because when I saw Dolph come out, I'm like, I sighed, and I thought, you know what? They're going to have a good match, but you know what? I've seen it 500 times, and I can't get excited about it. It was really tough. And that's sad for those guys because they're out there breaking it. They're trying to do their best they can in the ring, but nobody wants to see it, not because they're bad, but because we've seen it 500 times already.
That is definitely a symptom of all of WWE TV. Now, I know you did walk in here today, and within 5 seconds of me talking to you, you had to talk about a robe.
Oh, it was me, when it comes to those old school robes, I love them. They're so fantastic and glorious. And to see one be mistreated like this, and
this whole thing is horrendous.
I really when they did the original thing with him and Maverick peed his pants, I really thought, okay, that's it. It's a one off. We're done. I really did not expect to see it spun off and continued this week. I could not believe that when I saw it. Like, I thought, it's a super goofy little thing. Keep it as a one-off, fine. But now we're going to have a whole angle based on guys pissing on each other and stuff. Like, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Now it's going to be water sports entertainment.
And also super sad in this. I don't know if Rude was told to do this or himself, but he overreacted badly in that segment. Like, he just looked like such an absolute idiot.
Brian Alvarez brought up a good point on one of his shows this week. You have any of those guys in the past who have worn these robes, whether it be, Flair, Terry Taylor, sure, not so much Terry Taylor, but the other ones, where they're wearing the robes because they can afford the robes. Mm. They're the rich characters, right?
Right.
Why is Bobby Roode so worried about a robe? Even if it's a $10,000 robe, he's so worried about that, where he's not willing to, forget that that's happening and pursue the titles, that he's in this match for the title?
Oh, no, Jay, the slightest distraction and the title match. At least it wasn't just somebody's ring entrance music this time to screw him up. But yeah, it's a terrible angle. I don't think it's anything really anybody wants to see. And I really liked the idea of Maverick coming in as a manager, but now I'm just like...
I didn't like the manager role because it's tough because you still... The character becomes disconnected when he's the authority figure on 205
well,
Live
see,
and he's
you know
a
what?
Baby
they
face.
They should have killed that. They should have... I know they didn't, but
yeah.
They should have gotten... On 205, they should have somehow worked that out and he had someone else in that place. Because you're right, that makes a disconnect that doesn't work.
We also have, speaking of 205 Live, guys that have moved over from 205 Live to the main roster, the Lucha House Party. Now, it's delightful that they're on, you know, on Raw now, but can you explain to me Lucha House Party rules?
No, it's even more mixed up than regular Lucha Libre rules when it comes to a tag match, right?
Right.
Because they have these things where you don't necessarily have to tag the guy, and sometimes the captain of the team has to be pinned to win the match. Like, they're confusing enough. But this, yeah, it makes no sense that it just seems whatever they do, they're allowed to have three guys.
That's it. And not only that, I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, Freebird rules. No, it's
not
that.
It's not Freebird rules, because Freebird rules would any two
That's right.
could fight, not all three. Three at once. That never happened.
What the New Day did was Freebird rules, where
yes,
two would defend.
Right.
That's the same
that's
thing.
That's right. That's right.
But with this, it's always a three on two. And listen, if I'm the Revival, yeah, I'm pissed off as well. Yeah.
And wouldn't you be going to get somebody else? Like, you know,
yeah.
That's the other thing. They always make the baby faces look like such idiots with these
no,
stories.
This is the reverse.
Oh,
this
that's
is
true.
The reverse.
That's right. Well,
this is a tactic that
well, then
if
it's
it
even
is a
more,
team,
then that makes it even more stupid.
That's right, yeah. Because this would be something where if it was a heel team and they're like, no, our rules are always three on two.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you're
yeah.
a heel team. I could almost
faces,
buy
yeah.
that. You're baby faces and you're cheating.
Yeah.
That's why if I was the Revival, I would be so mad at this in storyline because they're right. It doesn't make
no.
sense.
Or, you know, they should just, yeah, Lars Sullivan should come in as their partner.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe we'll talk more about Lars Sullivan when we get into SmackDown. We're going to do that next. Take a break. Come on back. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. House is a brand.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
What do Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Lucha Underground all have in common?
They're all booked better than WWE?
Well, yes, but the answer I was looking for is that they all sell merch at ProWrestlingTees.com. From Okada to Omega, CM Punk to Dalton Castle, and what better way to show off that you enjoy a good super kick party than by having it written on your chest? The best selection of wrestling merch anywhere is at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Somehow, they are both still on the apron and both still in this battle royal.
This is not the part of town where you want to trade blows.
Well, there you have it. It is going to be a three-way match. He's already angry, folks. A three-way match at TLC. It's Asuka, along with Becky and Charlotte, injected into the main event. From what I'm taking out of this, you may like this even less than peeing on a robe.
Well, it's a close second, I guess. I was just so upset with this. I really liked the whole thing with Becky and Charlotte, and I just kind of want to see them have the match by themselves. And I just feel it was like, it's so frivolous. We're going to have this little battle royal, and then we're just going to toss her in this match. She really has no... I mean, I guess in terms of booking, they're putting her in there maybe to take the fall.
Well, there is no fall. So it's a... I don't know. No, it's a TLC match, so that means you're going to have the belt hung above the ring. It's TLC, right?
Okay.
So this is for a belt, so it's hung above the ring.
Oh, okay. Well, so then do they... Well, then maybe they want to put it on her to get it off those...
This is the question that is thrown out
there.
Well,
okay, if that's how it's going to work, I forgot about that. I thought it was just whoever goes through the table or whatever. If that's how it's going to work, then it almost looks like she's going to win the title,
yeah.
And then we can have Becky and Charlotte spin off on their own.
So there's a variety of ways that this can go, which does kind of make it interesting, but let's get back to the fact where it doesn't make sense. Paige comes out and she's adding someone to this match. Why?
Yeah. Exactly.
Why?
Yeah.
What, these two, you can't tell me that Charlotte does not deserve another title shot after beating up Ronda Rousey,
that's right,
the Raw champion, destroying her. Like, Paige should come out with Shane on SmackDown and go, well, listen, we lost, but, well, Ronda really didn't sell it anyway, but Ronda should be in a neck brace,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And Charlotte destroyed her, and Charlotte deserves another title shot. That I can see. Why you're injecting a third person, there has to be something to it. Along with that, the Battle Royal was terrible.
Oh, no, it was.
Whoa.
And you kind of pretty well knew right away it was going to be Asuka that was going to come out the winner, because you knew they weren't going to put anyone else in a match of that caliber.
Like, but the finish with Sonya Deville was just horrible.
Yeah, it was
absolutely awful.
It was not good. It's one of the feuds really that's working really well on its own. And I just, the injection, even if it is Asuka, and they probably will have a good match, it's just, I just didn't want her in that. Let's put her in something else. Like, put her in a new story.
With what? With who, though? What can you do?
That's the tough part. But my solution would be not to put her in this match. I would have figured out something else.
Here's a question for you. At the moment, I don't know if Becky is cleared yet. I think they got their fingers crossed.
Right. So
but
in case
Becky cleared for wrestling on TLC?
Okay.
We'll ask Meltz about that in the next segment, because I have not read a report that says she's cleared. It's a concussion problem.
Mm.
So you never know
that
with concussion problems whether she's going to be cleared. Now, you did bring up a good point there, though, with injecting Asuka into this. Does that mean you're taking the title out of the feud and putting the title on Asuka? But going back to my point, against who?
Yeah, right.
Who does
exactly
Asuka spin off with?
Yeah, that's a very,
Mandy Rose?
Yeah, Naomi. Like, yeah, there's Lana. Yeah, not a lot of what picks there, no.
So if that's the case, I mean, legitimately, you should have the championship in the mix with Becky and Charlotte. They deserve it. So if we look at that then, if Asuka wins, do you then have, because then it's Royal Rumble time,
mm-hmm,
right? So Asuka's off with the title. She's not in the mix. That puts Becky and Charlotte in the Royal Rumble.
Right.
So it's been a while since we've had co-winners.
Yeah.
Oh! Are we getting co-winners of the Royal Rumble to then pass on Asuka and challenge Ronda for her title?
Oh, wow.
Because how do you get those three together? Or are you doing something? Because the other thought is, then it's going to be Charlotte facing Ronda at the Rumble? Are they going to try to do a cross brand? Because there's unfinished business there with Charlotte.
Yes.
There's unfinished business with Becky as well.
Yeah.
And now you've injected Asuka. This is a very complicated scenario. I mean, it does at least give more questions and more intrigue, but I don't necessarily know if Asuka adds to all of that.
Well, no, exactly. And again, with this particular storyline and angles and stuff, I think you need to keep it to just one-on-one matches. Either Ronda versus Charlotte. I don't want to see Becky versus Ronda versus Charlotte either.
That could very well be the main event of WrestleMania.
See, but again, that's not something I really want to see either. I just want to see one-on-one. Either Charlotte and Ronda, or Ronda and Becky, or Charlotte and Becky.
So
you know?
Who is your... Because I'm still in firm belief that WrestleMania will be main evented by Ronda Rousey versus someone. And for you, who is staring across at Ronda? Is it the hot Becky Lynch, or is it the legacy of Charlotte Flair?
See, that's a tough one because... See, myself, personally, I think I would pick Charlotte.
Me too.
But the fans really are super behind Becky, and they might react the wrong way if Charlotte's put in that spot, right?
So therefore, what's the end result?
Oh, the
three-way.
Yeah. brutal. It's true. They kind of have booked themselves into the corner there. I
think the fans have done this, though.
Yeah.
The fans rallying behind and the support. Listen, the fan support for Becky and what they have now is similar to what happened with Daniel Bryan.
Yes, it is.
And there was the absolute rejection of Roman Reigns, poor Batista.
Yeah.
The guy who comes back and just gets into the wrong angle for no reason. You know what? He was treated so poorly by the fans because if you look at everything he's done, he's in the nerd culture.
Mm-hmm.
He's Drax.
Oh, exactly. They don't
he's
exactly.
Drax.
Yeah,
he has all the best lines in Guardians.
Exactly.
But he was just treated so poorly because he got caught up in that angle that was horrendous.
Yeah.
I mean, because the fans wanted Daniel Bryan. So you're looking at a similar angle to that now where the fans want Becky.
Yeah.
Do you don't really want to take the shot of compromising the fact of your WrestleMania main event to be kiboshed there, yeah, and hijacked.
Exactly. And also, you really shouldn't. I mean, I don't know how many times I harp on about how you got to go with what the fans want. You, as a company, any company, you're supposed to provide what your customers want. And they're just so adamant sometimes about not doing that. And this, you know, they got to think about that because it could backfire on them again.
Also on SmackDown, which I felt was very unmotivated, but I saw later on what they were doing, was Jeff Hardy celebrating 20 years. 20
well,
years of Jeff
Hardy.
Because
it just came out of the blue, right?
Nowhere.
Like seriously, if you're... See, that shows you how fly-by-night they are in writing the shows. If you were going to do this, push it for a month or something. Like, have some vignettes going. You know what? In 1 month, Jeff Hardy celebrates 20 years in the ring and show a cool spot every week on the TV leading into it. But yeah, it was just like off the top of the show. They just said, well, tonight, Jeff Hardy, 20 years. You're like... Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So it came out of nowhere. I was very confused as to what was going on until Joe came out.
Right.
Okay, so two ways to react to this. Number one, some people love going down this road. I am on that camp. I'm in that camp. I'm on that road. Mm. I love going down this road with calling up the past of Jeff Hardy because what you said earlier about
the realism.
Yes. The real life.
Yes.
Joe was given some very standard lines. Joe can deliver anything. We found out Joe can read a fairy tale and deliver
that's
it well,
right,
okay?
That's good, yeah.
So I thought this was, I didn't understand why they went the way they got to get there, but when they did get there,
right.
Joe was just so damn good.
He was good. Yep.
Do you like this?
Good.
But the you well, know what? The problem is, to me, the feud, I don't care.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't know if the match will really be that great in the ring, and... Joe has had such mishandling since he's come up from NXT as well, too. He's really been booked to just be another guy on the roster when you had someone that was really pretty special. I mean, he's had an amazing career. He's an amazingly talented guy. He can have good matches with almost everybody.
I think he's still special.
I
think he still has an aura about him.
Really?
I think that he is still someone... where he comes out and he still seems like the badass, and he comes out and he always has a presence. And I think a lot has to do with the way that he carries himself.
Yeah.
And the way that he speaks when he gets it.
And
when
you know
he gets
what?
The mic.
And I agree. You know what? I wouldn't argue about any of that stuff, but ultimately it's how you're booked as a
That's
performer
loose.
And the story.
Yeah.
You're right. I agree. He looks great. That music plays. He does have a presence, but... that doesn't help you when they're booked in these bad scenarios constantly. In fact, it almost kind of hurts because he has this great presence as a monster, and then he's booked like a jobber all the time.
I don't think he should be jobbing in this one.
Well, no, neither do I.
I think Jeff Hardy is the guy who has everything that you just said applies to Jeff Hardy
as
well.
Yeah.
I think that Jeff Hardy doesn't have much left in the tank.
No.
Right? He shouldn't.
No.
He should stop. I remember a year ago they were talking about his body.
To bed. Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
He's not supposed to be doing the swantons off the top and his body's really taking a beating. Well, of course it has. Look at the clips that they played. Look what we've seen him go through, plus all of the extracurricular things his body has gone through. And in this case, you have these two stars who, yes, the fans both enjoy, but to me, this is Samoa Joe, you know, destroying a fan favorite should be what happens here. I think Joe should go over.
I agree. I think he should win. He should obliterate him. But the thing is, this would be a great opportunity to build Joe up, but I don't know if that'll happen because he'll just go back to being another guy on the roster after this match. Like, I don't see how it's going to help propel him up the ladder. I hope it does, but I don't see it.
Samoa Joe versus Daniel Bryan. The only problem is we have two heels now. I don't understand why Bryan is a heel, but maybe we'll touch on that later. We've got to take a break. We're going to come on back. Court Bauer is going to be joining us next to talk about a big, big milestone that MLW is doing coming up on a future Friday on Fusion. We'll talk about that next. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
Man the Mouth Lovransky here, and when I'm not watching wrestling, I love old cheesy movies. You know, the ones that are so bad they're good. That's why the Trash Palace is my favorite theater in Toronto. They show all these forgotten films from every genre. Monsters, maniacs, cowboys, samurais, cartoons, classroom films, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Now, if your film-going experience needs spicing up, you need to check out the Trash Palace every second Friday of the month at CineCycle, 129 Spadina, just south of Queen and Spadina. For the full schedule, check out Trash Palace Toronto on Facebook.
Welcome back. It is Sunday night's main event. And if you listen to the program, well, you know that we have commercials that air here. We're a part of the MLW Network. MLW Fusion is advertised on the show. And it's going to be a live show on Friday, December the 14th on BN Sports, MLW Fusion Live, a one-hour special. It's coming to you from Miami, Florida. So joining us on the show to give us details, the man who's in charge of it all, Court Bauer. Welcome back.
Guys, good to be on with you.
So, Court, you're going live. Why the decision to go live in an era that, you know, we've seen live versus tape shows not make that much of a difference as far as ratings go? Why are you pushing to go live here for this event?
Sports properties that are live ultimately are worth more. And that's the bottom line. Live sports programming has immense value to networks, and we are in the world of content being king. So that's a big move for us. And a milestone that we had in our business plan as part of our five-year business plan. Our business plan was out of date within 3 months of making it when we signed with BN and had a national network deal. So here we are 9 months into our network premiere, since our network premiere, and we've hit another big milestone.
Nice. Now, going live, it always gives you that chance to kind of dangle special things or get the fans worked up or tease them that something special might happen. You know, are we going to have any special surprises or things to look forward to in this live event?
I am this weekend writing the show, so I'm not even sure yet. I'm looking at it right now. I have some things on this piece of paper with my pencil, so we'll see what's going on. But live is electric. It's spontaneous. Being in Miami is always electric and spontaneous. So for us, first of all, we wanted just three banging matches, and then, you know, you cook some stuff into the show that you think will get the buzz and the energy cooking and take you forward. So, you know, our three matches, I guess you could argue two of those could, at least maybe even three of them, could be main events. But Rush making his second, it'll be his second outing by then against Rich Swann, and then Dragon Lee debuting against DJ Z in a ladder match. We think that should probably fill out an hour rather well.
Can I just say, Court, that in this day and age, it is amazingly refreshing that someone wants to present a one-hour special program and not make it 10 hours long with a five-hour pre-show. Like, Court, I mean, I think that's really important that, you know, less is more sometimes.
You know what's crazy? And I don't think this is out there yet, but so it's an exclusive for you guys. We had the opportunity to do 2 hours, and I said, no, let's just do 1 hour live and make it a really good hour and make them want more. Less is more.
Yeah.
So we actually turned down the second hour. It was up to us. BN is that good of a partner that they had that much faith in us and that much enthusiasm in more MLW. But it's the first time a promoter's probably said no to a scenario like that. But, you know, I want to make it a good hour. And, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, we know how that goes. It's not knocking anyone. It's more of a challenge for your team. It's more of a challenge for the fans, the viewers at home.
Yeah, and I mean, you're doing the tapings there as well, so that would definitely put stress on all of your staff, and it will be refreshing, as Mouth said, to just watch that hot hour. Now, you said you were writing the show, and I'm wondering how much that has changed. You know, just yesterday we heard that ROH has signed PCO and Brody King. Both of those guys you've used in your shows before. Did that really mess things up for you?
No, we had to alter one match, and it's not to knock the talent. They're great talent. By design, I have like 75% of my roster under contracts. I leave about 20 to 25% of the roster as free agents for flexibility to create wiggle room. You have to have guys you want to beat, not necessarily under contract. And we did have talks earlier in the year with Brody King. At that point in time, he was all in on New Japan and maybe Ring of Honor is his track there. That has been his dream, and so he seems to want to pursue. He's been doing stuff in the dojo in L.A. And PCO, we had talks with him about a contract, but we really never even talked dollars. And so I think he has gone public with he believes it's the best deal of his career. Mm-hmm. So, hey, you know, let him make money. The thing right now is there's so much talent. Those slots open up two opportunities for other guys to come in there, you know, whether it's your Dragon Lees and those kind of guys. So I think the fans win. And people say, oh, my God, all these raids, all this stuff going on. You know, there was a time in the 90s when that happened. Wrestling was pretty good then. So I don't think people should be freaking out in a bad way. This, given it context, creates more opportunity for other talent. And fans now get to see, you know, some different remixed rosters across the board.
Is it tough for you, though, Court, being someone out there signing them with the rumors of, you know, All Elite coming about and WWE going in and trying to sign people to exclusive deals? We really saw that in the UK lately. You know, you're on BN. You do have a television presence, but it's not WWE. It's not the hype with, you know, AEW at the moment. Have you found this to be a challenge with all of these rumors circulating?
No, we have most of our guys that I mean, virtually everyone I have on a fast track, they're under a contract. So there's no real disruption for me. My thing's about stability, and BN gives us that. National TV in U.S., Puerto Rico, and we go into Canada a bit, and our global footprint will grow in 2019. But for me, it's just about stability. I think the theme of 2019 is volatility. I think a lot of guys are going to scramble to sign guys. A lot of people are going to be in hunt for new TV deals like Impact, the Tony Khan project. We'll see what happens there. There's definitely opportunity for everyone. I think the fans win in the end. For me, I'm just staying my course. I have a long-term exclusive deal with BN. As you can tell, they've been awesome partners. And we just want to continue developing our talent, putting on big matches and having big factions like Hart Foundation and doing things with Tom Lawler chasing the title. Those are the things that we're focused on and just kind of fine tuning our product in 2019 and going international.
So this is show number one live for you guys. Is this the format that you're looking to do though? And if so, how often are you trying to go live?
It's like you just want to get this one right, and then you hope to do more. We've had discussions about doing a lot of this kind of stuff in the future. I can't say when and where, but we definitely have had discussions about it, and we'll see where it goes. And part of going live is we have to staff up, and we're bringing a lot of my friends that used to work at WWE from a production point of view in the truck, behind the cameras, to operationally make sure the show is as smooth as silk. And when you do live TV, you don't want to go the wrong way because it's live TV. But it's for the first time since I worked at WWE, I'll be working with some of these people. You wouldn't know their names from a technical point of view. They make or have made WWE such a flawless experience live. And for me, that means I get to sleep for the next 14 days because if I didn't have a crew like that, you really have some anxiety.
You know, that's actually an interesting point, and I've never thought of that. We always talk about the on-air talent and people going back and forth between organizations. But you, someone who's worked behind the scenes at WWE, and WWE's schedule for their behind-the-scenes talent, of course, increasing as well and being extra taxing with travel, do you find that when you're talking to these people, you're an attractive alternative because it's not the rigors of the WWE schedule and it's a bit of variety?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of them still are freelancers, but it's going to change next year, I think. So I think some are looking at different things. They're looking at maybe getting into doing the NBA season, but still doing some wrestling, or doing baseball and still doing some wrestling. So I think there is some of that. How much? We'll see. But I'm glad I have my guys. I got a little bit of a dream team in the truck, which is great to have that live experience.
It's always handy, that's for sure. I wanted to talk a little bit, too, about some of the talent. Your current champ, MJF, who actually, Jay and I just saw him recently wrestle up here in Toronto at the Greektown Wrestling Show, defend the title, five-way ladder match, but some issues with his elbow. Is there any updates we can give on his status at the moment?
No, he's day-to-day, and same with Tom Lawler. You know, Tom
with the hand.
Surgery. Yeah. Tom was in a fight for Golden Boy MMA at the LA Forum last Saturday. And basically, first of all, he shattered his hand. Now it appears he crushed his knuckle and kind of maybe could have collapsed on itself, which sounds horrible and it's very painful for him. But right now he's not in the cast, not anticipating surgery, but he still has to do some work and look into his CAT scans and another round of tests. So we'll see where he goes. And MJF's more of the same. You know, it's day to day. So, you know, for us, it's like as soon as we know absolutely categorically, you know, someone's definitely not going to make it, and it's more of a risk than a reward for the talent, for us, for the fans. We're gonna make the call. So in 48 hours, I might even be able to say, okay, Tom's in definitively or out, and same with Max. We just don't know until we know. So you know, I try to communicate. And that's the thing I love about social media now is you can in real time communicate. We still don't know. If a fan has a question, hey, is he going to appear? Yes, maybe. We don't know, and it's okay to say we don't know yet.
Now, another name that, when I read this card, actually shocked me is Conan getting back into the ring. You have a long history with Conan and MLW and the podcast, but he's getting back into the ring for a shot at the MLW World Heavyweight Champion Loki. How's Konnan's health and his hips?
Great. He had a hip replacement earlier in the year, and he worked our Battle Riot show, and then I believe he worked for Impact on a pay-per-view recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing a lot of cardio training. He's doing basketball, and you think about basketball, the jump shots and everything, the compression and how that impacts your body. He's been doing great. And he actually told me he got a pair of roller skates this week. I'm like, oh, God, don't do that.
Oh, man.
And now we're screwed.
Falls right on his hip off the roller skates.
Right. And I'm just thinking, Konnan in San Diego on roller skates is such a great angle that I have to do. I'm going to have to steal and put it in our TV show and someone's going to attack him or something because this just sounds ridiculous. But I don't think he's been talking on the podcast for years about a retirement tour, a comeback tour, variation of these things. And he just never really pulled the trigger. And then, I just randomly asked him, hey, how about you do the Battle Riot? He's like, oh, my God, I don't know. Okay. And then you see now it's kind of one of those things where he's now doing more and more. And I was really talking with a real vision for 2019 in Mexico and beyond. So we'll see what happens. I love doing this kind of Cinderella Man Rocky story where he's coming out of retirement, hasn't been active in basically 10 years, and he's fighting for the title in his hometown of Miami. People associate him with San Diego 619, he's from Miami. So he's got family there, a lot of friends from his old neighborhood there, and we've been pumping it up at the local level with Miami Herald, the local sports talk radio stations. And it's kind of created a bit of a buzz for Konnan's homecoming / comeback. So at the very least, I think it'll make for good TV.
Well, we look forward to that, Cord, and all the rest of the card. It's happening, as we said, December 14th. It's MLW Fusion, and it's going to be Fusion Live, a one-hour succinct
one
special. thanks for joining us tonight, Cord. Hope to chat with you again soon.
For sure, guys. Thank you.
Stick with us. Coming up in the second hour of the program, we kick it off with Dave Meltzer for more of the insider details, turnbuckle trivia, and we will, of course, get into your feedback. It's Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/snmeradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/snmeradio.